This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Coming to you from my basement out here in the eastern plains of Colorado, where we raise our five children. We homeschool them with a distinctively Christian worldview, not the humanistic, man is just cosmic dust floating around the universe of pure chance, ethics completely arbitrary, relativistic. No, 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 not that worldview. That's what you get in the public schools. We don't do that in our homeschool. We take the other worldview. That there is a God and he has given us his law. Of course, we broke his law, but thankfully he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. We trust in him and his blood cleanses us from all sins. So that's our worldview, and it's a better worldview than the other one. Why? Because it gives us the truth and it gives us purpose for life. It gives us an absolute sense of right and wrong. It's like way better, okay, than the other worldview. Now, speaking of the other worldview, Dave, there is a battle going on for the respect of human life in America, and we bring this up a lot. And by the way, good news here, Supreme Court has maintained the Texas law that restricts abortion somewhat and has closed down several abortion clinics in Texas. A little bit of a jaundiced eye as we look at what's going on in Texas. Not sure that this is going to last, but it's something, and we'll keep an eye on it. And the Supreme Court is maintaining something of states' rights for the time being. So
this is a case of direction and not perfection.
Yeah. Yep. But in Albuquerque, New Mexico, something different happening. Albuquerque is one of the few states or few cities in America that kills babies who feel pain, have heartbeats, and respond to their mother's moods. That is babies over 22, 23 weeks old. That is second, third trimester abortions. By the way, Boulder, Colorado has one of them too. I think there's four or five of these abortion clinics in the country, but Albuquerque, New Mexico had one, and the city apparently conducted a citywide election or referendum on the question of whether or not they should kill these babies. And apparently, according to the election that just happened this week, Albuquerque does want to kill babies who feel pain, have heartbeats, and respond to their mother's moods. And they voted for it at a 55-45 ratio, Dave. So, you know, if you're somebody who just really want to kill a baby, if that's been your desire, you've just wanted to kill a baby who feels pain, has heartbeats, and responds to its mother's moods. And you couldn't do it. You couldn't do it in the voyeuristic, murderous way through the internet or some other way. And you're that kind of guy. You're a voyeuristic serial killer who wants to murder his babies, and you do want to do it legally. The point is here: go to Albuquerque. Go to Albuquerque. It's okay. You can do it there.
You probably can't kill a puppy there.
Probably not. No.
Probably.
I'm sure you can't do it in Santa Fe.
You know, but go ahead and kill your babies because. I mean, what good are humans?
Yeah.
It's not like they're creating the image of God or anything. God, what is that again?
Yeah. Well, that's the worldview. As I said, this is their worldview. Their worldview is kill whatever you want. And this does not bode well for the West. One of the reasons, Dave, why this is happening is because the West is libertarian, feminist, and it tends to be strong on killing babies. Colorado was the first state to legalize it in 1967, thanks to Governor Love, a Republican governor who signed it off in 1967. And remember, the feminist capital of America is the Wyoming Capitol. If you go to the Wyoming Capitol, you'll see a tribute, a large statue to women's liberation. And the West, Wyoming, New Mexico, and Colorado has been strong on feminism and has been for hundreds of, or at least 100 years. And so, you know, we're up against this, and yeah, we're a little unpopular, wouldn't you say, Dave, in Colorado?
Me and you?
Yeah. In fact, if the news agencies want to find anybody who would stand against the rising tide of feminism and homosexuality, they tend to bring their big TV trucks down to your church and my church.
Well, we're easy targets. Yeah, I would say that not much of the church really believes the Bible, especially what the New Testament says about men and women. It seems that that is part of the scriptures that nobody really wants to deal with.
And Dave, may I say that when we bring up the issue of feminism or the feminazis, as Rush Limbaugh used to refer to them as, we get the most negative feedback. In fact, if I was to do a statistical analysis of the negative feedback on this radio program, I'd say 60% comes from feminazis, 30% from homosexuals. And both sets, the feminists and the homosexuals, strongly signified represent the social decay of the day. I mean, they're leading the destruction of the nuclear family in the Western world, and they're proud of it. And Dave, I mean, it still blows my mind that when we get on the air and we read the Bible, I mean, when we read things like, "As for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths." You know, I read that. I say when women are leading in politics, when women are leading in the church, it is a signification of a destructive path for society, because God's word says it in Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 12. That turns people off, Dave. I read that out loud and people get turned off. And if I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 34, "Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says." You know, read that in 1 Corinthians 14. Paul, they're verifying the Old Testament law there. People get turned off. This is the sacred cow. You barbecue this cow, the screams will be louder than any other cow that you barbecue. Friends, this is the ultimate of the sacred cows in American society today. This is bigger than homosexuality. It's bigger than abortion, because it's more fundamental than abortion. Abortion itself is the sacrament of feminism. It's the sacrament. It's the human sacrifice involved in the religion of feminism. And so it's part and parcel of the worldview.
Kevin, I look at feminism as a broad application of some principles. On the one end, on the more conservative end, you will have the independent and egalitarian type of view, especially in the household. You will see probably Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin is the more conservative kind of feminism. On the other hand, you have the full-blown Nazi. In the middle, you have those who will advocate for abortion, which is, as you said, their sacrament, for free birth control pills so that they can go ahead and fornicate as much as they desire to, but they get to choose what they want to do with their body. Nobody can tell them what to do and what not to do with their body, because that is also sacred, including killing babies in it. They will also fight for things like food stamps. Basically, they're taking the principle of being independent from a man, and they're trying to advocate it through public policy. Now, the Apostle Paul is very clear. Now, you ready, people? You're ready for what the Word of God has to say? Because he says, "Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man." And then he goes on to say, "Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man." God's design for the household is not egalitarian. God's design for the household is a flow of authority. It is a relationship that is a loving leading, and it is a loving submission.
You start speaking of the man as the leader in the home, the federal head or the covenant head of the home, Dave. Those fighting words, you can feel the temperature of the blood of the vast majority of Americans rising. I mean, rising fast as you read those words from God's word. People hate these words. They absolutely hate the authoritative word of God, especially when it offends their most fundamental belief system, the things that they hold to most aggressively and will not let go for anything. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not exactly sure why this is so fundamental to their existence, but that they are leading the demise of the Christian family, the biblical family. And when 42% of the kids are born outside of wedlock, up from 6% in 1960, half of marriages end in divorce, and the shack-up rate is 10 times what it was in 1970. This is all the result of feminism. This is all the result of the breakdown of the nuclear family. This is all the result of women trying to be independent and men flaking out in the process, which of course produces 70% of young men not grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970. They don't need to get married. They don't want to get married. They could care less about getting married and getting on with life. And of course, we've been through a man's session where most of the jobs lost were lost to men. And it was a she-covery where most of the jobs recovered were to women. And women now make up the majority of the workforce in America today. And men are walking off the reservation. And they have broken down the character of the nation. They have broken down the family. They have broken down the morality of the nation, the sexual morality of the nation. They've done everything possible to destroy sexuality, morality, and the nuclear family. They've done it. And this is their experiment. And they want to believe that this will work. And they've got the Emperor's New Clothes propaganda machine just working this as hard as they possibly can because they don't want to be proven wrong, even though they are wrong. And every day we're finding more statistics indicating that they're breaking down our socioeconomic systems. Yes, they're wrong. And they are breaking the system down. And their worldview is bad, bad to the core. And they don't want to admit it. And when you get two guys in a basement stepping out and saying, I think the dude's nude. I don't think the emperor has any clothes. I don't think the feminist ideologies and the breakdown of the biblical family, the biblical concept of what it is to be a covenant head as a man and a submissive wife as a woman, when you break that thing down, you will destroy human society as we know it. When guys say that, of course, it's not going to be received well by the Emperor's New Clothes makers. Of course, they're not going to receive it. You're going to be touching some hot buttons when you get into this. And Dave, you're going to get just about as much persecution from your own church or your own denomination or your own religion, the Christian religion, than you would from outside of the church. I'm not thinking it makes a whole lot of difference these days. Now, granted, there are some churches better than others, and we're thankful for that. But the church has become just about as feminist as the rest of the world. And we're going to talk about how the feminists now are destroying some of the better nations around the world where the family was still somewhat stable. Yeah, the feminists, the socialist egalitarians are going after the best nation, all the nations. They're going after the whole world to bring the whole world down to the vision they've established for the Western world that they've pretty much already destroyed. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. The Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And several days ago, we brought out the Evil Index for the first time, as far as we know, in the history of the modern world, comparing nations based upon a biblical standard of morality, especially focusing in on the 6th, 7th, and 8th commandments, and also understanding there's some nations that were committing more egregious sins than others, as defined by a biblical standard of morality, not by Karl Marx's or Margaret Sanger's or Gloria Steinem's standard morality, but by a biblical standard, because, hey, who are they? Who are these human beings that are just more cosmic dust with a big fat opinion on some kind of ethical matter? Who cares what they think? What really matters is what God thinks. And so we compared nations around the world and found that the worst nations, the absolute worst nations on planet Earth were North Korea, number one, Greenland, number two, Vietnam, number three, and number four was Taiwan. And then we went on down, and most of it was nations like the UK and Sweden and other nations like that. United States, I think, was number 22. But the best nation, at least of the major nations, not the little dinky little island states here and there, but of the larger nations around the world, the best nation was still Chile. Believe it or not, Chile turned out to be the best nation so far on Earth. But now it's become the target, as it turns out, of the leftists, the Marxists. They're taking over the universities. Or have taken over the universities very much in Chile, and they are effectively working their agenda there too. So, you know, the left is showing up wherever the left can show up, and they will try to ruin other nations as well. Remember, to ruin a nation means that you will destroy its sexuality, you will destroy its progeny, you will implode its birth rates, and you will kill as many babies as you can possibly kill.
Destroy the family.
That's right. That's right. And so they haven't quite done that in Chile yet. In fact, Dave, I have a friend who's an expat down there, and apparently there are a huge number of expats down in Chile. In fact, this guy's got a website, redhotchile.com, or something like that, Red Hot Chile. And he moved there, I think, 15 or 20 years ago. And I think people have been moving down there for quite some time now as a nation that actually had some rather decent financial sense. In fact, here is the article from Financial Times on the Chile elections that ironically was happening when we announced the worst nations on Earth, on the Evil Index and the best nations on earth via the Evil Index. And as we were talking about Chile, Dave, they were having their election and the leftists were already down there and they had beat us to the punch and they moved the election towards the left. And here's the title of this article. This is how they do it. And this is how they've done it in America. They're doing it the same way down there. Women lead the revolution in Chile. Okay, that's the Financial Times article that I pulled off the internet this morning. And picture there from Reuters, but of one of the winners. The winners are largely women, largely leftists, largely socialists, egalitarian Marxists. And they confess themselves to be that way. According to this article, since 1990, the proportion of Chileans living on less than $4 a day has fallen to 10% from 60%. A remarkable transformation, largely because they've incorporated the free market there, Dave. I mean, it was one of the nations that was one of the freest nations on earth for a long time, and they've done a great job. They're one of the most powerful up-and-coming economic forces in the third world and have been for the last 25 years because, by God's grace, there's been a little common grace operating down in Chile, and there has been a remarkable transformation. But now, of course, the Marxists are down there and encouraging class envy and class greed and encouraging something of a Marxist revolution. And here's the article. I'll just read a little bit from it. Again, friends, the leftists are there. The leftists are doing what they can to destroy every nation around the world, largely by interrupting the nuclear family, destroying the family, and then aggrandizing the state. Okay? That's how you do it. That's how you destroy a nation. You destroy the family, you bring the family down, and then you aggrandize the state and redistribute as much wealth as possible. Sitting beside a mural that depicts a student uprising overlooked by the heroes of the Chilean left, Melissa Sepulveda explains why nothing less than a revolution will do. The 23-year-old's softly spoken words contrast with the radical implications, a complete overhaul of the established order in a country, more usually cited as one of the most successful economies in the world. So it's already one of the most successful economies in the world. She wants to destroy it. Now, of course, she's been trained in a university as all the self-styled anarchist, the new head of the University of Chile's powerful student union. She's also the latest woman to join a select female group that spans two generations, occupies among the most influential positions in the OECD country. In the older generation, there is Michelle Bachelet, 62, a former president who ruled from 2006 to 2010, calls herself a socialist, but is better known as a realist pragmatist. She won the first round of presidential elections on Sunday with 47%. Among the younger generation, the most famous face is the communist Camila Vallejo, who led the University of Chile Union when students took to the streets in 2011 over exorbitant education fees and almost brought the government to a standstill. It was among the first of the middle class revolutions that have since become commonplace around the globe. So, Dave, I mean, it's all starting. It's all fomenting in the universities, as it did here. And it's the feminists leading the charge. No surprise. I mean, just again, no surprise that it's the feminists that are saying, hey, let's destroy the nation. First of all, let's destroy family economies. Let's destroy the family itself. And then let's bring Marxism in. Because remember, they want to be independent. These feminists want to be independent of the family, of any stinking father, any stinking husband. And they want to be dependent upon a state, a large state that will take care of them, womb to tomb, until they euthanize them when they run out of Social Security funds.
Kevin, so often I have to feel bad for people because they're presented a choice of two evils, not the lesser of two evils, two evils. You know, do you want to get hit in the head with a baseball bat and be bludgeoned to death, or do you want to be shot and stabbed 16 times? You know, Your choices are unacceptable. You have a choice of a woman or an overt Marxist. You know, it'd be like if you had a choice between Sarah Palin and Barack Obama in America. You know, one is a feminist to be sure, the other we're not so sure about, but one is an avowed Marxist with Marxist ties. The other is more of a free marketeer. So you're always presented with two choices, and it seems that the dragon right now is able to manipulate the choices to be very poor. In South America, the neighbor, Argentina, Kirchner is the president there, has done a pretty good job of keeping the hardcore Marxism at bay and bringing some liberty. China's going to look over the border and say, you know, that's actually better than what we're seeing in some of the South American, Honduran, and other places where the Marxists come in and become a full-fledged tyranny. You know, to die slowly is probably better than to die quickly. And so we see things like this happening. Unfortunately, the church is not in place advocating the proper godly principles. And if they don't have the proper principles, they will choose what they think is the best of the leftover principles. And that is unfortunate, what's happening in South America. They just haven't had the brightness of the Reformed Protestant gospel of Jesus Christ affect that land very much.
Yeah, and Dave, you know, I get feedback from other Christian pastors who are saying, man, you guys are dealing with cultural issues and political issues. Why don't you just deal with the gospel? You know, stop trying to deal with the temporal issues when we could be up high in the sky doing spiritual stuff. And Dave, I think that is the root problem. When the gospel's been stripped of any sense of repentance, any idea that nations need to repent of their sins, of stealing money, of killing babies, or fill in the blank. And when we say nations, we mean the people within that nation as well. So we don't divorce the concept of the individual from the corporate body of individuals. And when you have Christians who will say, hey, let's not call the nations to repentance. Let's not teach repentance. Let's not teach the laws of God. Let's not teach our families to raise their children to be godly. And let's not teach them what a godly idea of womanhood is. Let's let them go to organizations like the Girl Scouts who just do not have a biblical concept of womanhood and seem to be supportive of lesbianism in some of their products that they sell on their website, and their support of a feminism, and their support of a Planned Parenthood by way of the World Council of Girl Scouts and the $1 million that the American organization funnels into that organization. And when we say, maybe you shouldn't teach your daughter, especially Christians, maybe you shouldn't teach your little daughters to be lesbians and feminists. These guys say, oh, stop dealing with the issues of law and parents repenting of the way they raise their daughters and people repenting of their sins and coming to Jesus and asking Jesus to wash away their sins. Stop that. Just stop it. Stop it. We don't want the gospel presented in that form. Dave, I'm not sure what's left of the gospel. I'm not sure what kind of impact this insipid form of Christianity has on anybody or anything when the Christian church has pretty much abandoned the teaching of the Word of God and the application of the Word of God to all areas of life.
Kevin, it's not the gospel if we're not applying it. If we're not putting on Christ, we are not dealing with the gospel. Paul says in Romans 13 that the night is nearly over, the day is over here. Let us put aside our sin. He lists some sins there. And then in verse 14, he says, rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the flesh. So we're to put off sin and put on Christ, but we're not putting on Christ if we're not putting on his righteousness and trying to live that righteousness out. That is Paul's point. Should we sin that grace should abound all the more? No. Heck no. Any kind of word that Paul could put there to say, no, 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 you can't do that. You have to put on Christ, which means that he is your king and he gives you a law and you follow it. He has designed how this world will work best. And if you don't go by his design, you try and gerrymander something, the whole thing will eventually fall apart. You know, you can put a feminist in place in the civil magistrate for a little while. But eventually, all of society will come down. You can send your girls off and teach them to be independent. You know, maybe in a generation, they'll have the blessings of bigger houses, and they don't have to worry about husbands leaving. But come the next generation, you're going to find there are no husbands. The guys don't want to engage the conflict with their wife for the headship of the home that was given them to by Christ. They want to love their wives, and they can't love their wives because every time they reach out to love their wives are trying to claim independence. And now in the midst of the gap of the conflict, they bow out and they'd rather turn to fantasy and porn and their own selfish interests because the other is unacceptable to them. And the whole thing starts coming down. You can just see the water washing around the ceramic bowl here. It's going in a circle. And the further down the bowl you get, the closer you are to getting flushed
away. We're facing the breakdown of civilizations, my friends. I mean, it's happening. It's happening. You can't break down the family without breaking down the civilization. And it's been institutionalized. It's been institutionalized across our teaching organizations and the way we raise our little girls and our little boys. It's been institutionalized, and it's crept into the church, and the church hardly is relevant in the discussion. Why? Because the church apparently is about the gospel, not calling men and women to repentance and teaching them to observe whatsoever Jesus has commanded in his word. Apparently, there's this radical breakdown between the individual and his corporate body, and this radical breakdown between repentance and faith. And the end result is the breakdown of the church, and the breakdown of the church means the breakdown of civilization. Remember, the source of a lot of the things that are corrupting the entire nation is right here in the United States. And if we're not aware, if the church is here, if the pastors here aren't aware of the breakdown of culture and the breakdown of obedience to God's law on the institutional level, and their people are amalgamating into that system that is breaking God's law wholesale, whether it be the sixth commandment, the seventh commandment, or the eighth commandment, or the second, or the third, or the fourth, if the people of God aren't being taught by their pastors on these things, then of course we're going to see the corruption of the entire world, of every nation around the world. So until we actually get some missionaries and pastors in America and Chile and elsewhere standing up and saying, hey, this is what the family looks like. Feminism is wrong. And we ought not to raise our daughters to be feminists. And egalitarianism and Marxism and the redistribution of wealth is a violation of the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. And oh, by the way, abortion is the violation of the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder. Until you have pastors that are actually willing to stand up and teach the nations to observe whatsoever Jesus has commanded, that's the Great Commission. Until we actually get the Great Commission out again and start using it, then of course the faith is going to languish. Of course civilizations will die. So I guess we're getting back to the fact that you've got to disciple the nations here, there, or somewhere. All right.
And Kevin, you know, Ephesians 5 makes this very, very strong connection between Christ and his church and the husband and the wife. And he says that the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. My observation is that in too many evangelical churches, too many Catholic churches, too many Reformed churches, too many churches, Christ is not the true head. We submit Christ and his word to our wisdom. Mm-hmm. We say, oh, I don't like what Paul has to say about feminism. Well, Christ is no longer the head. And we manifest that theological statement in our life by having an egalitarian relationship within our homes and within society. Christ is no longer the head of the church, then the husband's no longer the head of the wife, and it doesn't really matter whether or not there's a feminist who's the president or the pastor or runs the home. And at some point, a man who has lost his headship is a man without a head.
Well, we've barbecued the sacred cow again on this edition of the Generations broadcast. It is the sacred cow, the best sacred cow of the modern social systems. And I'm sure we turn people off when we get into this, but I don't care anymore. I don't care. I really don't care. I'm trying to salvage something of a social system. I'm trying to salvage a biblical social system. I'm trying to salvage something of the biblical family and the biblical church in the 21st century. And right now, we are in the maelstrom of apostasy and the breakdown of civilization. So let's get back to the Word of God. Let's just start believing what Paul says in Ephesians 5 and 1 Corinthians 14:34 and Isaiah 5, verse 12. Let's believe what the Word of God has to say. And friends, that means you've got to get back to the epistemological authority of God's Word. Root and ground your perspective right there. And just maybe there will be a second Mayflower. Just maybe there will be something of a nation whose God is the Lord sometime in the future. It's happened before. I think it can happen again. That's the point of my book, The Second Mayflower, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.